Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools. For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown. Through its Fed Talk series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia's students and Georgia's schools. Welcome to Fed Talks.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the final podcast in the series on the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, and it's really been an enlightening and informative series. I mean, I've been working with Eric and Dieter for a long time on the program, but I've definitely learned a few new things here. So we're going to wrap it up with this podcast, really talking about the state office's the purpose. And when I say state office, I really mean here at the Department of Education, because we are the ones who received the McKinney-Vento grant funding from the U.S. Department of Education. So we're responsible here. So we're going to talk a little bit about your roles and what your office does to support students experiencing homelessness. So I'm not sure, is it John or Sean is going to start? All right.
So we're going to start with the first, just to piggyback off what Craig said, which is basically, can you explain to everyone the purpose here at the Department of Education as it relates to the McKinney-Vento Act?
So our office has the primary responsibility of mirroring what the McKinney-Vento Act does at the federal level, which is removing barriers to full participation in the educational experience for students who are experiencing homelessness. And so our primary responsibilities are to enhance professional development for homeless education liaisons throughout the state. We engage in monitoring of McKinney-Vento programs for districts that have McKinney-Vento grant funds, sub-grant funds, but also districts across the state who may not have those funds, to ensure that they are implementing the federal act so that they are preventing barriers for students who are experiencing homelessness. And then we also work to mediate, in many instances, disputes related to McKinney-Vento eligibility, related to transportation services, and concerns that may arise from a parent or a school district's perspective related to specific cases. And so we, though our team is small, we work very well to comprehensively meet the needs of advocacy and building awareness around the state.
And then the next, if you could just explain, what are the structures that the department has put into place to make sure that the law is meaningful for families, students, and schools?
Well, one of the things is that we have a professional development, really a schedule almost, and make sure that we are addressing the needs of our McKinney-Vento liaisons who are responsible for implementing the McKinney-Vento Act in all of our school districts. So we have an annual meeting with them. We also are engaged in the Federal Programs Conference to make sure that all of our federal program staff are aware of McKinney-Vento through GSEL. We regularly are in attendance at the School Social Workers Association of Georgia's conference, in addition to being on a number of different collaboratives and organizations to make sure that not only in the department but outside the department, they're aware of McKinney-Vento and those students, so more services can be made available to them, to school districts. We are currently enhancing even our dispute process to make sure that we're aligned with other federal programs. That is something that we do on a regular basis in McKinney-Vento. There are a lot of disputes that come through for some reason. But we make sure that, you know, LEAs are keeping the right perspective. We want to be advocates for children that are experiencing homelessness, make sure that the kids are in a safe environment. Even if there's a dispute and we find that they're ineligible, we try to make sure that they're still in school during the dispute and make sure kids are safe. In a safe environment. We also have a structured plan of implementation of these programs through our CLIP. So that is a very, very structured plan where districts are writing down the plans they have in place to meet the needs of children and youth that might be experiencing homelessness. We review those plans through our continuous improvement teams here in Georgia. So we're looking at those plans and making sure every school district has a plan in place and that those plans are viable. That plan is connected to a budget. budget. And so every district has to set aside funds for addressing the needs of those children. So we're looking at funding, we're looking at planning, making sure that awareness is out there. We have engaged technical assistance for all of our liaisons and for school districts. We will go out on site. We're regularly at the school districts, making sure that they are aware, providing technical assistance certainly to any liaisons that are brand new. If we see any issues or aware of any issues, we try to go out and make sure that we're on the front end and to make sure that they have structures in place to make sure services are being provided. We are a part of the Governor's Interagency Council, a part of the Special Education Advocacy Group, or SAP. We're part of Project Community Connections Incorporated, which is implementing portions of HUD. So we're all over the place. DECAL with early learning, mm-hmm. just to make sure that the message about supporting children and youth experiencing homelessness is out there. So we're everywhere.
And Eric, I mean, I think, you know, one of the big things about making sure that the law is meaningful for families, students, and schools is reporting outcomes. Mm-hmm. Making people aware of what are the good things and what's happening as a result of these plans that are being implemented. So talk to us a little bit about how we report outcomes sure. to the U.S. Department of Education. It's part of the accountability process when we receive our funds. But how do you guys manage that process of, okay, they have plans, but are they really making a difference when they implement those plans?
Yeah. Well, certainly we are collecting data and sharing that data across the state. I mentioned in a previous podcast that our kids are coded with an environment code and are identified by school districts. And we're able to draw any information that you can draw from a student after they're coded that way. So we work very closely with our data collection team and make sure we have information available. We produce something that's been groundbreaking across the country, which is a kind of a data book regarding homeless children and youth, and it's actually on our website. So if you go to the McKinney-Vento page, you will see a data report.
What's it listed. Called officially? I know you've got it in front of you, so let's turn to the page and see what it's called.
It's called Georgia's McKinney-Vento Program Data Report.
And it's done annually.
And it's done annually, and we post that online, and it provides all types of information regarding the number of kids that might be experiencing homelessness, the percentage of kids, their nighttime primary, nighttime residence, whether they're doubled
district,
up with others. It's by school district and the state.
Okay.
So we locked it down all the way to the district level. Demographics of those children, the grade levels of those children, attendance rates, suspension rates, academic achievement rates on end of course test and academic achievement there, graduation rates and mobility rates. So all of that is presented in there, as well as just contact information for all of our district McKinney-Vento liaisons and our state representatives here at the Georgia Department of Education. So all that information is there. It's been touted and praised nationwide as a model that states should look at. And one of the reasons we do that is because we want and expect our local districts to do the same. And so we have this on a state level, so certainly they have it on a local level, and we want them to use that for planning. So we ask about that in our clip. They're looking at what was the previous year's performance for those children experiencing homelessness. Did they meet your program goals, which might not be academic, but it might be service related. And so all those things are kind of looked at in a book, but we expect our LEAs to mirror that process as well.
And it's not always an easy task, I wouldn't think, because we've talked over the series here that it's really more about ensuring access for
yes.
students. So, you know, people may ask, well, are they performing better academically?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the McKinney-Vento funds may not be necessarily
right.
spent on tutors, but they are spent on transportation to make sure the child's in
yeah.
school.
Yeah. So certainly we are keeping them connected to those academic programs that might be achievement related. And so that is a part of the program. But again, who's homeless this year might be different from who's homeless next year. So to see longitudinal improvement would be problematic just because it's not the same kid who's measured every year. But certainly we do take a snapshot and look at how did they perform this year. Liaisons should be looking not only at the end of the year, they should be looking ongoing because they have that information there. So that's something that we are connected to, but it's not a direct correlation to academic achievement. Certainly we want to make sure services are provided. And nationally, there are some standards through NCHE on just looking at what a good program looks like. And so academics is just one piece of that, but attendance rates is a piece of that. Looking at awareness and how many schools or how many community locations where awareness can be found is a part of that. And so there's some standards that we can look at for the program to see whether we have a good quality program.
And I think we have one more question just to wrap it up.
It sounds like y'all are doing some amazing work. So it's hard to top that, but along those lines, can you talk to us, Eric or Deirdre, about some of the goals that you have moving forward to make the program even more meaningful and effective?
Recently, I've tried to do just a look at our data. We always look at our data, but one of the things I wanted to focus on was those LEAs reporting zero kids for consecutive years. Normally, when you're looking at poverty data, about 10% of all families in poverty have experienced homelessness or are experiencing homelessness. And so if I look at just the poverty data, I can extrapolate how many kids might be homeless in a district. Now, this is not a overall case, but if I see a district that is 3 years, 4 years, 5 years reporting zero, that might be more of a capacity issue. That might be more of a technical assistance issue and what's structure issue of what's in place versus homelessness doesn't exist in this district. Okay, so that's one of the projects that we're looking at as an office to provide more direct technical assistance to those districts that are reporting zero to make sure that there's no kids that are falling through the cracks and not receiving services that they should receive. Like, all of our kids are categorically eligible for free meals through the free meals program. And so we don't want those kids going, they're in transition and having housing insecurity. We don't want them to have food insecurity as well. So that's just one thing we want to make sure that we're not leaving people through the cracks. We're also endeavoring to have our homeless subpopulation included in SLDS, our student longitudinal data system. So that districts can take a look at their data in a more robust way as well. And a third goal for our district is to make sure that we're enhancing the capacity for identifying and providing youth with services.
So I think it's something that if you don't know a whole lot about this, just that concept of doubling up might qualify a student as experiencing homelessness. I don't think that's generally even realized. I know that was kind of an eye-opener for me, but it makes such sense.
You know, when we look at doubled up numbers, about 73% of the students that we identify as McKinney-Vento eligible in our state, and about 75% of students who are identified as McKinney-Vento eligible at the national level are actually identified because they're doubled up with family or friends because of economic hardship. So traditionally perceived unsheltered homeless or families living in shelters, that makes up a significantly less number of the population experiencing homelessness. It's mostly families that are doubled up with family members or friends.
Which I know if I mentioned that to my family who doesn't know anything about, you know, the characteristics of experiencing homelessness, they would think, oh yeah, doubling up, that does make sense.
Right.
But you don't really think about it.
It's common.
Yeah, at the beginning. All right, well, this has been super informative, and we really appreciate Eric and Deirdre, you taking the time to come in and share information through this podcast series. So from me, I thank you very much, and I know John and Sean.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for allowing us to share.
Appreciate it.